Pastor Ray Bentley says our walk of faith today is reminiscent of the walk of faith of the father of the faith, Abraham.
When we heard the gospel itself, we heard the word of God, and through the word, we heard the voice of the Lord himself calling us, saying, come, follow me. Every single one of us who then said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, began a holy pilgrimage, just like Abraham.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The Bible gives us plenty of heroes to emulate, but they're real-life examples. The blemishes haven't been airbrushed. And today, Pastor Ray shows us what we can learn from Abraham. We'll learn how to follow in his faith footsteps as we visit what's considered to be the Bible's Faith Hall of Fame.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning in verse 8, we read, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So the great example of Abraham. Abraham is the supreme illustration and example of faith. Now, Abraham lived in a city called Ur, U-R. It was on the Euphrates River in what is today southern Iraq. The Euphrates River is one of four rivers mentioned in the book of Genesis, and I'm talking the earliest pages, the first couple of chapters of Genesis describe the Garden of Eden, which was the whole earth was like paradise, but there was a garden planted. I always think of like those beautiful English gardens. The raw natural beauty was there, but God had arranged pathways, and in the cool of the evening, he would come and walk with Adam and Eve, and it was on top of a mountain. And from the top of the mountain, not only was there this garden city, but there were four rivers that cascaded down the mountain in the four directions, north, south, east, and west. Two of them have been lost through time and geography, but two of them still exist, the Tigris River and the Euphrates River. I think it's important also to note that these people were not backwards. They were extremely sophisticated. They had an elaborate system of writing. They had a language. They had sophisticated mathematical calculations. They had a vast understanding of astronomy and the stars and the heavens. They had vast business records of all kinds, as well as religious records. Now, the only thing, as in many other places in those days, mankind had drifted from worshiping the Creator, the one true God, to worshiping hundreds, if not thousands, of gods and goddesses and idolatry and paganism in that way. And so God came to Abraham. We don't know exactly, there are some legends about Abraham, but we know his father, Terah, was an idol worshiper, as was everyone else. We can imagine that Abraham was raised at least in that very environment. But there was something unique and different about him. And God came to Abraham and spoke to him and said, leave your country and your people and go to the land I will show you. And I will bless you, Abraham, and through you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Your descendants shall be more numerous than the stars in the heavens and the sand beneath your feet. God chose this man, Abraham. Why did he choose him? We don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We see how Abraham responded to God, but in many ways, God chose Abraham just like every one of his children in the body of Christ, by his grace, because he wanted to. Now, Abraham did respond, and when God spoke to him, he listened. When God made promises to him, he trusted. When God gave commands to him, he obeyed. And what I would like to say, and just if we can, connecting a little dot from Abraham to you and I, And that is this: every single one of you, including myself, when we heard the gospel, and we heard not only the words of whatever the minister, the evangelist, but we heard the gospel itself. We heard the word of God, and through the word, we heard the voice of the Lord himself calling us, saying, come, follow me. Every single one of us who then said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, began a holy pilgrimage just like Abraham. Every single one of us is called to leave our old life, our old patterns of living, our old ways. We're literally to leave the world that is lost and in darkness. And now we are to walk with God and to follow him and to know him and experience him and learn of him and develop a relationship with him. And into a new land and into a new kind of life and with a new family and new brothers and sisters in this new amazing, it's called the body of Christ, it is called the temple made of living stones, it is called the family of God. We are now literally brothers and sisters from every nation, every language, every kindred, and every tribe upon the face of the earth. And even though there are about 2.5 billion supposedly today that follow Christ, we have untold numbers of brothers and sisters that go back for a very, very long time. So we're on a holy pilgrimage, just like Abraham. Read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Salvation brings separation from the world. And there comes when you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, there comes this new desire that nothing in this world can satisfy. And we're called, you know, we try. The world has imitations of a spiritual life and copies of trying to fill that hole, that void, as one has described a God-shaped void within the heart of every human being. But nothing satisfied, and thus we finally came to the Lord. Now, I also want to say this to you. If you are my brother and sister and you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forever ruined as far as being able to go back and enjoy a life of sin. Now, you can do it. You can choose it, you can try it, you can backslide, you can spin around, go in circles, wander in the wilderness, all you want. But if the Holy Spirit genuinely dwells within you, you will never, ever be able to enjoy the pleasures of the old life or sin or the things of the world or of the flesh or of the devil ever again. You are ruined gloriously for all time and eternity. And God is a very patient God. I mean, we're looking at Abraham, and I don't want you to get the idea, oh, so God spoke, and Abraham's obedient, and he just followed, and everything was perfect. Because as we'll see in just a moment, Abraham was not perfect. He was righteous. He believed in the Lord. But actually, as he left his homeland and family and everything and began following the Lord, he made some stops along the way. And God had to come to Abraham and through circumstances, stir things up in Abraham's life to let him know, no, son, this is not where you're to stop. This is not where you are to stay. And because the Holy Spirit is so loving and so gracious, when we do get stuck and we are spinning around in the wilderness and going nowhere, the Lord is very patient and very gracious, and he's a very wise Heavenly Father. He knows how to stir your life up. And as it were, through circumstances, stir up the hornet's nest until finally one day you wake up and you are running like chariots of fire away from where you have been because you're no longer happy or comfortable there, getting you back on the path, as it were. And so when you pray, you're basically saying, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with me. I don't know where this is all going to lead. I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to keep following you. Now, I realize that that's not an easy thing, and it's not a very enjoyable thing at times. I don't know about you, but me personally, what I would like to do is, I remember being a young Christian, constantly I would go up to my pastors and say, what is God's will for my life? How do you know if God has called you? What does he want me to do? And I had all these kind of questions. What I really wanted from them and from the Lord, and I think this would be very cool, is that you say, okay, dear God, how do you see my gifts and how do you assess my talents? What is your will for my life and what do you want me to do? Please fill out this MapQuest information list. Okay, go down this path and go to this school for, 4.2 years, and then you will turn right, and you will go here and intern there, and then do this and that. I want it all kind of laid out. Can anybody relate to that? But can I just tell you that he never did that for me. And in fact, his instruction list, when you get it freshly every day, he'll tell you, but it's only one day at a time. One day at a time. And he says, live for today. Tomorrow's got enough challenges and problems and all the rest. Live in today. Jesus was trying to teach us that that's kingdom living. Is not. Many people live in the past, which messes with your head, or they try to live in the future, which hasn't happened and we have no control over. But what God wants us to live in is right here, right now, to live in the present, one day at a time.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's such an encouragement to us when we hear from radio listeners who join us for our daily studies.
Thank you for your great insight and daily teaching. My daughter and I had a stormy relationship in her growing up years. Now we live in different cities, but we've started to share together about what we learned from your daily message. It feels like we're doing something together and growing closer.
How have these studies in God's Word had an impact on your life or impacted your family? Would you drop Pastor Ray an email and let him know? Write ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So the life of faith is an adventure which begins with leaving one's old life of sin and unbelief and leaving the system of the world. I like this scripture in Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Let's read this out loud. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, if we would trust in what God's will is for our future, and you could see it as it were, you would be so excited. It'd be incredulous. You'd say, no way. This cannot, me? This is God's will for me? If the windows of heaven were open, could such a thing be? Absolutely. It would be incredulous to you. It would be amazing to you. It would stretch you. And it would also encourage you, man, I want to listen, follow to every subtle whisper of the Spirit, every little nuance. Lord, I'm all yours. If that is my future. And that's essentially what God's Word does. It reveals to us day by day, and God whispers into our ear, and He leads and guides us as we follow Him. But it doesn't always start off perfectly. Now, follow with me. Let me read to you verses 9 through 12. It says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and a multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, I want you to notice something about faith and about Abraham, and for that matter, about Sarah. Notice that faith grows. And if you know the story of what really happened when God came to Abraham and told him he's going to have a son, it is proof to me, the way the Bible tells the story, this is not a made-up story. But in fact, how did Abraham really, actually, in the Bible, respond when God made the promise? Well, the Bible says he fell on his belly, on his face, and laughed out loud. Look with me in Genesis chapter 17, verse 17 in your notes. Let's read it out loud. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? He fell on his belly laughing. He began his faith journey in total disbelief. I don't know about you, but this gives encouragement for me. Because I don't always immediately respond the way that you should. There was a journey of faith, and the journey of Abraham's faith began with total disbelief. You have got to be kidding. If the windows of heaven were open, could such a thing be? But fortunately, it's not just Abraham's story that is told. We also have Sarah. And Sarah finally was able to come to Abraham and say, "Abraham, how could you laugh at God like that? That's so silly of you. Why, of course God's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do." Is that what happened? Apparently not. Let's read about little Sarah, sassy little Sarah. Genesis chapter 18, verse 12. Let's read it. "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" I mean, okay, they're laughing. They fall. Abraham falls on his face. Lord tells Sarah, she's laughing within herself. I mean, this is not a perfect story with perfect people living a perfect path. This is an extremely human story. And I believe that God puts the stories of these characters in there, as they say, warts and all, so that you and I can go, man, you know, I mean, I can do that. I can laugh. I can disbelieve. I can be incredulous. But here's the thing. The one thing that Abraham and Sarah did not do that breaks everything off is run and hide. That's what Adam and Eve did. And that sin breaks the fellowship. If you stay in God's presence, anything you do is human. And as long as you're there in his presence and open and honest with him, God can handle that. Because now there's relationship. It's when you run and you hide, then there's a problem. That's what sin did. But Abraham laughed right in the very presence of the Lord. He didn't go get fig leaves. He didn't hide. He just was honestly himself. And then secondly, notice that this faith grew to a dawning, and this is a phrase, but a dawning realization. This is what genuine faith is like. It happens slowly, progressively, gradually. It's like watching trees grow. You can't really see them grow, but you come back a year later, it is growing, though you cannot see it. So is the life of faith. As you take daily God's word and the Holy Spirit and that time of prayer, relationship with him, it's like a dawning realization. And there is no mystery in all of creation like the love of God. Abraham believed God with he grew to believe God with a certainty so powerful that there came a day, not in the beginning, but with time and with walking with the Lord, there was a day you could walk up to Abraham and say, "Come on, you still believe? It's been all these years. You have nothing of the land. You still believe that?" And he would look at you and say, "I have a powerful, I know. I don't just hope. I don't just even believe anymore. I see it. It's coming to me." Literally, Abraham's faith was so powerful that everything God promised in the future was to him as if it were in the present. He was so convinced that God would lead him to a land where he would establish a great people that the future promise was transported into the present for him. And this is what is exciting, because it virtually means that in the end, faith conquers all and you have the Lord. Okay, let's close with verses 13 through 16. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. They could have run back, in other words, if they wanted to, but not after what they saw, not after what God had shown them of his promise for the future. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Death is the final test of faith, and Abraham and Sarah passed that test with flying colors. To them, it wasn't just, I've got to wait and hold on, and then finally I'll get there. To them, they already saw the future and they already had it. Whether this side of life or on that side of eternity. And that's the beauty of being a child of God, is that really it's not, oh, we're going to get crowns and we're going to be seated with Christ and we're going to share in his kingdom and there's streets of gold and there's the gates that are made of pearl and the 12 foundation stones and the beautiful New Jerusalem and the leaves of the trees of the healing of the nations and all the great good stuff that is there. That's not what that keeps you. What keeps you is, I have the Lord here and now. His presence is with me here and now. And that faith walk where the Lord told Abraham, guess what? I am thy exceeding great reward. And you get to the point where you go, yeah, it's coming. I can see it and it's on its way. And it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's here with me now. But I have the Lord here and now. And the beautiful gift God gives to his children is, when death comes, you are not afraid. That is not so for those who do not know the Lord. But for those who know the Lord, it's just a going through the veil. And your last breath on earth is followed by your first breath in heaven, and it's a release, and it is the perfect entrance into the eternity that God has prepared for us. I love Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Let's read that scripture out loud. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. How many are looking forward to their new bodies? We got one coming. Colossians 3, let's read it. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ is our gift. He is our reward, and we have him now, and we will have him for eternity as well. Amen.
Great encouragement about faith today. Pastor Ray Bentley leading our study of the lives of Abraham and Sarah from Hebrews chapter 11. Here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Eternity in Their Hearts. It's available on CD for a gift of any amount. And again, the title, Eternity in Their Hearts. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And then we want to mention Pastor Ray's book called The Habits of a Disciple. Pastor Ray, whenever I watch those fixer-upper type TV programs, it's always a big deal when they discover foundation problems. You know, those problems can't be ignored, and they're difficult to fix after a home is built. There's a strong parallel with our spiritual lives, isn't there?
Yes. I actually like watching those shows myself.
Oh, I do too.
And,
I do.
You know, when they go in and they'll say, okay, we've got, you know, plan A, plan B, but if you really want to do this right, we recommend going all the way down, stripping the walls, going down to the studs, and if you really fix the foundation, by the time we layer on top of that, you're not only going to have a house that looks good, but it's going to stay good and solid for a very, very long time. And that's a very great analogy for our lives. Sometimes we're not raised in a Christian home. Sometimes we get saved at a different time in our lives, and we have all kinds of things from our past or upbringing in our foundation that need to be addressed. That's why I wrote this book called The Habits of a Disciple, is to go down, repair the foundations of our life and our walk with God. Then you can begin building a life that will be strong and that will be fruitful, and that will be a blessing for you, for your spouse or children or family or friends for the rest of your life.
All right. Well, we'd like to make this kind of assurance available to you in Pastor Ray's book, The Habits of a Disciple. We'll send it to say thanks for your donation of any amount, which helps us keep bringing Pastor Ray's daily studies to you each day. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.